Good evening. I see some tea lights out there. Hopefully everyone has received one of these as you come in. Maybe you've even checked yours out to make sure it works. Yeah, good. I see you up there. I see that light in the back row. We're going to be using these a little bit later. They tell us there's a 6-hour battery. So if you want to go ahead and put it on, as long as it's not a distraction to those around you, we're all fine with that. But there is a point at which we'll use them for real, and so you want to make sure you have that. As we're gathering, I just wanted to take the opportunity, I'll take another one in a moment, I'm sure, to welcome you to Columbia Presbyterian Church. We gather at River Hill this year while we are worshiping off-site. Our church is located down the road, down 108, and we're under construction currently. So the Lord has been gracious to provide a place for us, and even a place for us on Christmas Eve. So we have a service of worship tonight where we will, Lord willing, see Jesus Christ, who he is and for what he's done. And with that in mind, I want to invite you to now just meditate. We have an instrumental selection for our prelude, and focus your heart on the Lord. Miss Melody Barger and Mrs. Debbie Allen, thank you very much. I want to invite you to stand. We welcome you again to our time where we reflect on the God of the universe who took on flesh on our behalf. We have a scripture that I want us to read responsively. So I'm going to read where it says worship leader and you be the congregation. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Lift our voice in song. Come. in prayer. Gracious God, we praise you and we thank you for the way that you have ordained our lives in such a way that we arrive at this place here tonight. We pray, Lord God, that by your Spirit you would meet with us, that you would make your truth known to us, Lord, that you would remind us of who you are and what you have accomplished on our behalf. I pray, Lord, for myself and for each of us in the room, that you'd help us to focus with all the things that are occurring out there and in here and inside us, that you would focus our hearts and our minds now on the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We'll read scripture in just a moment, but I came across I get a couple of blogs, and I came across one this week by a man named Matt Redman. Maybe you're familiar with him. He wrote a lot of contemporary Christian music. I wanted to read, fairly long quote for the time, but I want you to hear this. It was too good to pass up. Listen to what Matt Redman reminds us of as we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came for those who look in the mirror and see ugliness. Jesus came for daughters whose fathers never told them they were beautiful. Christmas is for those who go to wing night alone. Christmas is for those whose lives have been wrecked by cancer, and the thought of another Christmas seems like an impossible dream. Christmas is for those who would be nothing but lonely if not for social media. Christmas is for those whose marriages have careened against the retaining wall and are threatening to flip over the edge or have already gone. Christmas is for the son whose father keeps giving him hunting gear when all he really wants are art materials. Christmas is for smokers who cannot quit even in the face of a death sentence. Christmas is for all those who have looked for love in every wrong place. Christmas is for college students who sit in the midst of their family gathering and cannot wait to get out for another drink. Christmas is for those who traffic in failed dreams. Christmas is for those who have squandered the family name and fortune. They want home, but they cannot imagine a gracious reception there. Christmas is for parents who watch their children's marriage fall into disarray. Christmas is really about the gospel of grace for sinners. Because of all that Christ has done on the cross, the manger becomes the most hopeful place in a universe darkened with hopelessness. In the irony of all ironies, Christmas is for those who will find it the hardest to enjoy. Christmas really is for those who hate it most. So hear God's word. Thousands of years ago, knowing your particular circumstance this December the 24th, let's read again responsively. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's stand together.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
Proclaim him as our Lord and King. The ironies, the paradoxes of Christmas. Here from Luke chapter 2, a familiar, powerful story. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests."
Let's stand again and sing of this baby who was born to die.
What child is this to rest on Mary's lap? His sleep who angels creep with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch our and smitten and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his Son God now has spoken, is the true and faithful word. Why lies he in such meanest things, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is clear. Nail's spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Man. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Please be seated. Alan Harris is going to make his way now to, or maybe he's already here. And Alan has asked me to invite all of you who are 10 and under or around that age to come and find a spot up here on the platform with Pastor Alan. And if you're over 10, and you know of a 10 and under who's heading this way and might need some help on the platform, we invite you to come with them, responsible teen or young adult, so that no one falls off the stage at Christmas Eve. That would be devastating. Here they come, Alan.
Yeah. Probably have more up here than out there. Come on, just sit down here. Right on, there you go. Sit right down here. Okay. All right, let's wait for everybody to get here. Good, that's great. Come on in, nice and close. All right. Good. All right. Christmas Eve together. Isn't this neat? This is when I get to wear my sweater. Listen. This is the last time I get to wear this thing on Christmas Eve unless I come back here and visit. And that means that now I can get fat and I can have a belly because I have no incentive to fit in the sweater anymore. And no, we're not going to hang the sweater in the new building on the wall. No, that was suggested, but we're not going to do that. But Christmas is about gifts, right? No? Okay, all right. Let's suppose that your parents said, this year we're going to have cookies, we're going to have music, we're going to have all kinds of treats, but no gifts. No gifts this year. What would that be? You'd say, wait a minute, what's Christmas without gifts? It's got to be something, right? Now, you know, let me ask you a question. Just think for a moment, what would be the greatest gift that you could imagine getting by the Christmas tree tomorrow? This is not a trick question looking for a spiritual answer, God, Holy Spirit, the Bible. Nah, you know, but just, you know, what would be the great... Go ahead, just call out a couple things. What? Love, okay. But that's not going to be sitting under the tree. So, I mean, let's imagine something you could unwrap or something you would have there. You know, just call that. Yeah, go ahead, Ellen. A belt and a tie. Hey, what's Christmas without a belt and a tie? Come on, just call them out. Don't have to put your hand up. Just call out a couple of... What? See what? Oh, Jesus. Yes, well, we do have a spiritual. That's right. He is the greatest gift. But I'm looking for something else. Yeah, Bryson? Candy and a stocking. But listen, you could just think bigger and bigger. I mean, think something you could drive... You know, something you could live in. I mean, imagine, you know, you teenagers, you adults out there, vacation home, a turtle, not quite like a vacation home, but a lot of things. Okay, rein it in. Now listen, let's suppose that you start thinking about this and you think of the greatest gift that is not about Jesus and about love, but something you could either play in or you could live in or you could drive, you could have. And just imagine now that your parents say, I'm going to give it to you tomorrow. You're going to have it. And same thing with you adults. Be thinking, this thing I've always wanted to have, and tomorrow I'm going to have it. Now let's suppose, okay, so you get it. Boy, we got them all the way back here. Hang in there, guys. Let's suppose you get it. And you're playing with it, or you're living in it, or you're driving it, or something all day tomorrow, and you're really having a lot of fun. And then tomorrow night, you hear about somebody who really needs your gift. Somebody that you really care for, and they really need your gift. I mean, you think they need your gift so much that you're going to be willing, one day from now, just, you know, 24 hours from now, you're going to be willing to say, I'll give it to them. And not I'm going to give it to them and it's breaking my heart to do it, but I want to do it because I care so much for them and they need this so much that I'm willing to give it to them because I love them that much. It'll make me happy to do that. Can you imagine doing that? Being so happy to give something that was the greatest thing you could imagine and giving it away and being happy. Now that's a tiny little picture of what God did at Christmas. Because the Father and the Son and the Spirit lived together for all eternity. There was never a time they weren't together and they didn't enjoy each other and they were always happy. There was never a fight, never any tension. They loved each other all from eternity. And yet they looked and they saw you and me and said, in your brokenness, in all your problems in this world, you are not able to take care of your problems. You're going to have problems as you get older and you think, how do I take care of them? You're not going to be able to do it alone. And so the Father said to the Son, I'm willing to give you up. I'm willing for you to go so that those people will have the greatest gift and so they will be able to have you take care of them in a way they could never take care of themselves. Now, one of the most popular verses in the Bible is John 3:16. Does anybody know that verse? Anybody can tell me? Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, you're over here. Go ahead, Andrew.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Man, give me five. Okay, perfect. You ought to be a missionary. I know. All right, that's perfect. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And what that's saying is that anything else God would have given to you and to me, he could have made another one. You know, whatever the gift was. If it was a world, he'd make another world. There was only one thing God couldn't make another of. His Son. It was his one and only Son. He couldn't make another Son. The Son existed from eternity with the Father. And so when he gave the Son, he gave the one thing he couldn't replace. But he gave him because it was the one thing that could save us from spending eternity without God. That's what Christmas is about. And you know, it says God so loved the world. Now the world doesn't just mean everybody. The world there means people who didn't love God. It means people who were ruled by Satan. And so imagine now this gift that you're given tomorrow night. And imagine that the people you're given that gift for don't even like you. Let's suppose that at school or wherever in your neighborhood, they tell lies about you. They think they're better than you. They're mean to you. All these things. But you know that even though they say, we don't want your gift. Keep your stinking gift. We don't need it. You know, they need it desperately. And so you're saying, I'm still going to give it to you because I know you need it, even though you don't like me, and even though you don't want my gift. That's what John 3:16 is saying. God so loved the world that said, we didn't ask Jesus to come. You can stay in heaven. We don't even know if you exist. And God said, but I know the truth. I know you need my son desperately. And he sent Jesus for us so that he could do what? What did Jesus have to do for us? Yeah, faith. Die on the cross. Exactly right. Man, I got a bunch of smart kids up here. He died on the cross so that he could pay for our sins. So that's the picture. John 3:16 is really a verse about Christmas. And that picture is the picture of giving a gift. God loved, and so God gave. We're just about finished here. But notice it says, who did he give to? Those who believe in him. He didn't just give for anybody, no matter what. He was saying, you need to see that you need my gift, Jesus. And there is no better time than on Christmas Eve for you to say, I need Jesus more than all the gifts under the tree. And you know what? As you get older, the gifts that you have are going to mean less to you, and the family and the friends that you have at Christmas is going to mean more to you. And the gift that God has given in his son Jesus is going to mean more and more if you know him. Every Christmas, I put this little box under our Christmas tree. Everybody see it? You know what's in it? Nothing. But I put it under the tree because it reminds me that when we open all the big gifts and all the other things, that I look at this and here's this, what looks like an insignificant little box to remind me that the greatest gift that I get is what God gave in his son Jesus. That's the greatest gift. And so you might think about wrapping a tiny little box that doesn't look like a big deal to remind you tomorrow, really the best gift is Jesus. Let me read in conclusion. I'm closing up. You guys have been really good. A fellow who wrote a while ago, this thing's called Thoughts on Christmas Eve. Let me just finish with this. It's by a fellow who was called, his name was Joe Bailey, died some years ago. Joe Bailey said, praise God for Christmas. Praise him for the incarnation. For the word made flesh, I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty night or angel choristers. I will not sing of stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing distant star with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. I will sing praise to the infinite eternal son who became most finite, a little baby, who would one day be executed for my crimes. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the stable. Praise him in my heart. Let's pray real briefly. Everybody close your eyes. We're going to talk to God for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we can't imagine what it cost you to give Jesus as the gift that you gave us at Christmas. Because we just don't recognize. We just think about all the things we want and the things that we do, and you just aren't that important to us until Jesus helps us to see that you are God who made us, and you deserve all of our devotion, all of our love. And we just couldn't do it. And so we thank you that Jesus came to grow up and to die on the cross, to take our sin, and to give us eternal life to be with you. Thank you. Thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Thank you, guys. You are really good. Okay, back to your folks.
After little moment of time, we will be turning on our tea lights, and this is for you to take home. And as you think about it, even though this battery may die out after 6 hours, approximately, whatever the ad said. We want you to take this as a reminder of the light that has come into the world and what He has done for us. So the ladies are going to present a special song and offering, a special offering of song. We're not going to take up an offering. And I want the lyrics, just reflect on the lyrics, and then we'll put these lights on and we'll go and sing Silent Night, and we'll be concluded for the evening. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him.
Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's stand together. Gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we wish you the very best Christmas and a happy new year, and may Jesus Christ be Lord over all. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.